Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. He is good. I'm looking forward to lunch downstairs. Amen. Potluck. Also, tomorrow starts international 40-day fast. So some people have chosen to be a part of it. We're a part of that. Lou Engle, a pile of churches across America, Canada, and the world are starting a 40-day fast starting tomorrow. If you think you can go without food and water for 40 days, don't. Doesn't work. You can't survive that long without water. But the reality is fast something. Maybe it's just a little less time. Imagine fasting Facebook for 40 days. Imagine how positive life might be. Or one of your favorite TV shows. I mean, whatever. You know, it's just do something and spend more time with the Lord in His Word, in thankfulness. It's not beneficial to us to spend more time in agony in prayer, because I don't believe prayer is out of agony. Prayer should be out of joy. So many times we intercede out of our pain. But if we actually find the joy of the Lord, it becomes our strength. When it becomes our strength, we intercede out of victory instead of pain. I just believe that's New Covenant, what I read. Also, Kevin was talking about sowing, and we just took offering, we took our giving. A farmer can never expect production from his crop without first working in the field. Think about that for a moment. The farmer always works in his field first before he sows a seed. He never expects to sow a seed without working in the field. And guess what? This is a field. And we need help. We need servers. We need people apart. We need help in children's ministry. We need help in many areas. If you become a part of family and help, then when you sow, it becomes blessing and prosperity for the whole family. Amen? Just letting you know. I had a meeting yesterday with some of our children's ministry, actually our children's ministry leadership, and we need help in there. That's why we can only go to age 8 right now. We would love to go to age 12. And so it's super simple. It's not, we've changed some formats to make it a lot easier for all of us to sow in the field to bring harvest. Boy, everyone's looking at me like, that's not really what I wanted to hear. I wanted happy and eat. But that is happy. That's how we have joy. You know, when your front yard, let's say you have a yard. Some of you, maybe you don't. You live in an apartment. Okay, so let's say your condo or your apartment. But your yard needs the grass mowed. And you know it needs to be mowed. But you don't really want to take the time. You're busy. You're stressed out. And then it rains. And, well, I couldn't mow it because it was raining. And then the sun comes out and, you know, it nags on you every time you drive by. You know it needs to be mowed, but the free will isn't strong enough to overcome and get the job done. But isn't it amazing when you actually mow the lawn and it all works and it looks good? Doesn't it change your attitude and your atmosphere when you look at your yard? Same with your house. Same with your car. You know, it's like hard to wash our cars in winter, but when we actually do. Now, sometimes people keep their cars dirty because they really don't look good and the dirt helps hide a bunch of problems and issues, but that's besides the point. What am I trying to say? When we push our free will to the free will of the Lord, then we serve. And when we give with service and give, we receive and reap the best blessings and benefits of everything we've given because we've served and prepared the field in advance for the seed to be planted. Anyone getting the hint? Amen. So if you want to help prepare the field, you know what the field is? We're in it. We're in it. Every unsaved person around this building is a part of the field. And they need to be cultivated and harvested. We've got chairs on the way. Praise the Lord. They're coming in a few. I know sometime in March they're coming. It's going to be awesome. We literally bought 100 only. So, and we're going to put them all in the front. Front row seating, comfy. Back row seating, not as comfy. No, I'm just kidding. No, we actually ordered a full house of them, but we only get 150 at a time. So you're going to see those front rows. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be good. 40-day fast, amen? Amen? Attitude of the fast. Prepare the heart. 40 days starting tomorrow. Prepare your heart. Meditate on him and his word more. Anything that comes along, force your mind to think more of him and his presence and his glory. Fast something is better than nothing. Amen? Praise God. Last week, we finished in Joshua 1, 5 to 9. I'm not going to speak a lot on it, but I want to read it because it sets up what I want to share today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. So what's happening here? God is actually making an answer clear to Joshua on how to lead the Israelites in their assignment. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Let's remember that, because this is a declaration for all of us in this room, on TV right now. This is a declaration for all of us to grab and hold on to. Amen? I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Interesting. When we know that he never leaves us and forsakes us, our immediate responses will be strong and of good courage. That's what we're designed for. When we know that God never leaves us or forsakes us, we immediately step into being strong and of good courage. Because if we fail in knowing that God, or we don't believe that God will never leave us or forsake us, we can't be strong and in good courage. So be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night. In the word you meditate. In his presence you meditate. In him you glorify. I grew up, don't use the word meditate. That's a New Age term. You know what? New Age stole it from us. So I'm using the word meditate on him day and night. Psalms 1 is very clear. Meditate on him day and night, okay? Forget it. If some other religion and false religion stole my theology and my word, this called the Bible, I'm not scared that they stole it. I'm taking it back and saying, we're preaching the Bible, and that's what it is. And my Bible says, meditate on him day and night. Amen? Why? For then, the end of verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous. How do you make your way prosperous? Well, it's saying it right there. It's spend time with him. Meditate on him. Spend time with him. Focus on him. Have him in your thoughts. Have him in your thoughts daily. In the middle of the office, just, wow, boy, God is good. If you drive very long with me, you're going to hear, God is good. Wow, God's amazing. And people look at me, whoa. I did that one time, and they said, how do you know my dialect? I'm traveling internationally. How do you know my dialect? What do you mean your dialect? You just were speaking the dialect of my native tongue. Oh, okay. You want food? Okay, I'll feed you. No, I'm just kidding. More, más tacos, por favor. Okay. Verse 8 again. This book, just because it's so good. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. People don't like law. They want guidelines. You know what? Let's get over the politically correct statements. Politically correctness is killing us. It's killing our countries, it's killing our families, and it's trying to kill the word of God, because that's the ultimate desire of the devil. This is law. This is law. Just like 100 kilometers on the freeway is not a guideline. It's law. And what happens when you get caught doing 120 or 130? You get mad at the cop for pulling you over. You just broke the law. How come you pulled me over? You didn't pull everyone else over. Well, that's just so Americanized, North American, Canadianized thinking. Say, thank you, police officer, for pulling me over. I broke the law. I shouldn't have been speeding. But 99.9% of the other people are also speeding. Speak it in tongues. This is law. How many of you believe that this is law? The word of God is law. Like, we can't be scared of law, because without law you have anarchy. You want to talk about countries that don't have a police force? Or even one south of the border that their police force, through past governments, were belittled to such a level that they no longer had authority? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've been in lawless countries, ducking my head every time I hear a gunshot go off. I will guarantee you, it doesn't work. We need law. This is the law, the word of God. And it sets me free. It sets me free. You know what's, you know why? Because when I know the law and I live in the law, I actually have a security of protection. I actually live in a secured, protected lifestyle because God is my protector. Not the presidents, not the prime ministers. God is my protector. When I had a pistol stuck in my forehead in Tijuana, Mexico, and the kid pulled it four times and it misfired, four different shells misfired, I will guarantee you the law of Mexico didn't protect me. This law did. This law did. It protected me. I celebrate law. I'm going to speak law. I'm offended by law. It's guidelines. It is not guidelines. Guidelines tend to say there's no consequences to the wrongs. But law says there's consequences. But through the law of new covenant, I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. Remember that? By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Why is everyone 30 and under staring at me like, you are weird. You are weird. I've never heard that song before. I celebrate this book. I live in the book. I eat the book. I worship the author of the book. I stand on the book. Oh, sacrilegious, you're standing on the word. Oh, I think that's a scripture verse. I just happen to take the scripture literally. Whew, amen. Verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Not even on it, but in it. Meditate in it day and night. How do you meditate in it? Open it. In it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. How do you want to be prosperous? Ooh. Man, I'm preaching what I did last week, but I can't get past this verse. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9. See, the problem is people read this and they become knowledgeable in the word. Really good at memorizing, really good at quoting the word, especially when someone comes against you. Man, we just have the ability to quote Bible back sometimes. But that's not wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it correctly in our lives, which many times is not speaking back. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Have courage, because the Lord is with us. Wherever we go, he is with us. Amen? We can see that Joshua meditated on this word. He knew the scriptures. He was literally the protege, that spiritual son, the one that's going to take Moses' position and carry the Israelites into the promised land. Absolutely amazing. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. We're not going to turn there, but I'm going to quote it. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? This is what Moses had said, okay? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Remember, they were in captivity. But Moses is, who am I, God? I mean, Pharaoh's this big, bad guy, and I was not the best individual at one point in time, and they kind of don't like me. Who am I? But you know what I love about God's answers? They're just so true. Look at the end of verse 12. His answer to Moses was, I will certainly be with you. It wasn't, it's okay, I'm going to lead you there, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to put a half a dozen angels and protectors around you, and you're going to walk in with power, you're going to walk in authority, you're going to do all this, and this is what you're going to say, and this is what you're going to do, and because of that, this is what's going to happen. No, he just said, go. How do I know? Because I'll always be with you. Because I'm with you. That's how you know. But I need an answer. You have the answer. It's me. Not me, Brent. It's me, God. But I need the answer. You have the answer. It's right here. Yeah, but what am I going to do? How am I going to succeed? Am I going to be successful? Am I going to be wealthy? Am I going to have a business? Am I going to have a job? Who am I going to marry? Me. Me. I'll always be with you. And every other concern, and every other worry, every other struggle, just, oh, where'd you go, worry? Hey, stress. Bye, stress. Bye-bye. I'm with God. See you, depression. Bye-bye, depression. I don't need the pills because I'm with God. That's how it works. Is having the revelation of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and resurrection in us. There's the whole purpose of it. Also in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus' final words in his great commission to us were, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He had just told them everything, that they'd go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. He's telling them all the stuff to do. And they're kind of like, okay, how? I mean, how? And his answer is just like Moses got. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you. That's how. But I want to know fact and study law. I want to know now. But maybe it's the grace of God sparing us from wisdom before we're able to understand it and walk it through. But I want to know the lotto numbers. I've heard this. Brent, could you pray over my ticket? Over what ticket? Are you on a flight? No. I'm preaching in front of a conference, thousands of people, and they come up for prayer. And this one woman came up, and she's walking, and she's limping, and she says, you know, I said, what are you here for prayer for? There's probably 400 people for prayer. I said, what are you here for prayer for? I'm trying to do this quick. You know, what are you here for prayer for? Well, I see you have a limp. Well, no, what are you here for? I'm trying to get it done, right? There's 400 people or 300 people, whatever it was. Well, I bought a lotto ticket, and I'd like you to pray over it. I said, give me your lotto ticket. I'll show you what you need to do with it. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. You want me to pray over your lotto ticket when you have a limp? Yeah, but don't pray over my limp, because if I get healed, I lose my disability. What? Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't do that either. Ended up having a word of knowledge and prophesied over her son that wasn't there. People.
Yeah, well, the Lord gave me prophetically the numbers.
Okay.
Are they correct?
I don't. He gave you numbers for what? For the lotto. What? Did you buy the ticket?
Well, I'm asking you, you know, are they correct?
What?
Go buy your ticket and see. But let me tell you, if they're not the correct numbers, let me tell you your prophetic ability.
Where'd that come from? Okay. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This promise is twofold. With the promise for Joshua, the promise that Moses had, I'll always be with you, and the promise here. One is God's presence among us determines our identity. God's presence among us determines our identity. God's presence in me determines my identity. God's presence in us determines our identity. Without his presence, you have
a lack of understanding of identity. We have to have the presence of God internally. We have to have the presence in us. If we don't, the only other presence you can have other than God's presence in us is your own human presence, which is a sinful nature. We either have his presence in us, which determines our identity, or we don't have his presence in us, which your human nature will determine your identity. How does that look? Well, in the presence of God, you'll have an understanding of who you truly are. In the presence of your human nature, you'll have an orphan spirit, and you'll contend and fight for absolutely everything in life. Because you'll contend, because your identity is going to come from what you get or what you've done or what title you have, instead of just being a son. Being a son is the highest of authorities you can have in a household. When I say son, male, female, son, daughter. When you're the son, daughter of a king, you have the highest authoritative structure other than the king and queen himself. Where's my identity? It's in him. If people don't like me, that's their problem. Unless they're people I trust, who have a voice in my life. And I have a bunch of those. But you know what? It used to get me so down. People who don't have a clue who I am, slamming the daylights out of me because I'm connected with a group in Redding, California. The last I've heard is I've got a King Kundalini spirit because Bill Johnson has it. I know. A what exactly? You know, the dumb thing is Christians using yoga terminology. Why would you even say someone has a Kundalini spirit? Kundalini, if you look it up, I did, because I hadn't. I'm like, what is that? Is that, are they celebrating that I have the spirit, or are they not? They're sort of Christian people, I think. And I got it from Bill Johnson, a papa of mine. Praise God. And he got it from, who's the big revivalist in Africa, the biggest revival, or the biggest crusades in Africa? Reinhard, he got it from Reinhard Bonnke. Well, praise God, it must be revival. No, it's some distant yoga structure of some spirit deep in your backbone that manifests. And so any manifestation is the spirit. But in deep theory of the yoga that I looked at for this Kundalini spirit, that's only, I don't study yoga, believe me. It's actually a false religion. The stretches, if you want to stretch, stretch. But people say, Bright, can we do Christian yoga in the church? It's kind of like saying Christian Satanism. How do you do that? And I know I'm offending some people, but I want you to understand. Stretches and breathing techniques are great for your body. But the rudimental fundamentals of yoga are not good if you look into the depth of where it came from, okay? So anyways, I guess if you manifest, if you do anything, if you jerk, if you do this, whatever, you got this spirit. Well, I actually have a spirit. One's the spirit of that God gave me, and the other is the spirit of the Holy Spirit in me. And that spirit of the Holy Spirit has invaded me. And I will guarantee you, I don't have some demonic spirit of deep roots of yoga or Hinduism or whatever religion, Buddhism, whatever. Absolutely not. Those are false religions. Why? Because this word, this book, the speakings of God were the first religious structure ever on this earth. And every other false religion has taken some form out of this book of truth and twisted it and manipulated it into sin. I stand on the word. It is truth, and it sets me free. Amen? Amen. Ooh, I feel like I should do a little shake there just for the people watching. I'm a Baptist boy. We didn't shake. I grew up Baptist, 4 years of seminary. I didn't shake. I didn't say all of a sudden one day, here, I think I'll shake. No, we do that as shake and bake for chicken. It's delicious. Holy Spirit, move upon us. I don't know, something happened in Acts. to the disciples and a group of people in an upper room. Is that the spirit? Oh, that's, I believe, the spirit that this false yoga got the name Kundalini, because it actually is the source of the spiritual wellness of your whole being. They just called it some goofy thing, but we have Christians using false religions to accuse other Christians of things. I tell you, it's just so sad, isn't it? Let's get back on track and let's meditate on his word. I just feel so free saying that, just because it's meditate on him, his word. Always be aware, that's meditate. Be aware of his presence, because we have to have his presence. If we don't have the presence of God in us, we won't know how to walk out our assignment on this earth. We have to have his presence to fulfill the assignment that he has put us to. Amen? When we live aware of God's presence, it will determine how we respond to him. When we live in his presence and we're aware of the presence of God, it will literally determine how we respond to him. In everything he says, if we're in his presence, it will determine our response to absolutely everything. Our awareness of God is extremely important for us to be successful in following and obeying God. How do we even become successful in following and obeying God? In his presence, you will find the success of a followed lifestyle after him. King David spoke of this provision in Psalms chapter 16, verse 8. Psalm, just write it down. I'm going to skip through this fast. Psalm 16, 8, when he said, I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That word set means placed. Here King David in Psalm 16:8 is saying, I have placed the Lord before me. Everything I do, he is in front of me. I have put him beside me because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Why? Because I put the Lord before me. So really, we play a role in the Lord being visible and seen. But we all run to the conferences. We all run to the radical things that are like, I want to see the miracle. I want to see this. I want to see that. The reality is the miracle is not the amazing thing. Where the miracle came from is amazinger. Oh, I want to see the supernatural. You know what? Why don't you just see God? Why don't you just go after his face? Seek his face always. That's the miracle. Because out of that, you will understand a new level of his presence in our lives. And when we understand this new level of his presence in our lives, then everything starts to line up, fall into place, and sadness tends to depart. Sorrow departs. Depression departs. And the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I guarantee you, if you enter into the presence of God right now, there's joy. Amen. He's not up there on his throne. I'm feeling a little depressed today. You know what? I'm a little tired. I just don't think I bother going to that group of people meeting there in that Windward church. A little bit too cold outside.
What? What? He never went to bed last night. He was living in complete expectation that we were going to invite his presence to show up by coming together in the spirit of unity. He was expecting that the joy that we're going to experience together in his presence was going to fill our cups to overflowing. He was expecting that we were going to come together as a family. Even if you're visiting, welcome home. This is home. I want to put it right up here. Welcome home. Because so many people don't have homes. But this is home. This is a home where God dwells. This is a home where his Holy Spirit moves and freely reigns in this house. And people say, well, what's your theology? Jesus.
Well, what do you mean? What's your theology?
Jesus is the perfect theology. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I'm talking theology.
It's Jesus.
Well, we'll talk about communion. What's your theology on how old can you do from communion?
Well, you heard it today. That's between you and your kids as parents. Because the only one that knows them better than you is God. I don't know your kids well enough. You do, though. I don't know your life well enough. What do you want me to button up my collar? Put on a tie.
Okay, you can pass. Nope, not you. You can pass. Pass. Nope. But we're going to use real wine, but you get little cup because I got the bottle. You can pass.
Are you kidding me? I never saw Jesus do that.
Well, you can come to our family gathering, but not you.
Well, just study the life of Christ. That is really good theology. Because he did everything he saw his father do, and he spoke everything he heard his father say. Of course, there's theology. Don't get me wrong. Theology, theosology, alahia, it means man's study of the word. But you know how many theologies are out there by man's study and interpretation of the word? I grew up in a lot of them. 400 years after the death of Christ, God went into the time of silence. There's no more apostles and prophets. It's one of the theologies I grew up, so there's no more revelation of the word. But it's alive. It's living. What do you mean it's alive and living? You just told me it's dead. Why don't we study his word? Why don't we take a look and say, you set me free. One of my theologies is Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of this earth. He's the Son of God. And when he died and rose again, he gave you the open door and opportunity for salvation. One of my theologies is the devil's defeated.
Well, explain that.
Okay, the devil's defeated.
Well, put that in a perspective I understand.
The devil's defeated.
Well, he's sure attacking me.
Why? He's attacking you. Has he gotten in?
Well, yeah.
Why? I want to ask you, what's your theology?
Well, the devil's powerful.
Where do you get that theology from?
Well, I read the word.
Please give me scripture that says the devil has all power. Please give me scripture that says the cross did not defeat him. Please show me the scripture that Jesus Christ is not the King of kings and Lord of lords overall. Please give me the scripture that says that Jesus Christ did not declare from the throne room of triumph that he won. He has the victory. So if you got too much devil, which I believe the church does.
Yeah, but the demons might work. Ooh. That person's demon-possessed that's sitting in the back row up there.
Why do they always sit in the back? Some of them are in the front. That's their demon. No, I've been to many thousands of conferences. I traveled 41 nations of this world. I traveled 150,000 air miles last year. Miles. That's six times around the globe. It gave me a great premier status. Thank you, Jesus. Now I get free upgrades to first class, but it's always a blessing. Not always, but when they're there, I get them. I praise God. And I hear over and over again.
We need to intercede.
For what?
That the demons don't come into our service tonight.
Bring them in. Like which demons are you talking about?
Well, you know, Martha down the road there, you know. She might show up.
Praise God.
Well, she's a disruption.
Well, you know what? Why don't we see what the presence of God has authority over instead of live in fear of what we empower the devil to have? The devil's defeated. I look at these young people here, the amazing gifts that you guys carry. Absolutely phenomenal. Your whole family, the amazing gifts that you guys carry. You guys are going to walk, all of you young people are going to walk in areas that we've dreamt about. In the authority of Jesus in our life. You're going to walk, you're going to see the most miraculous things happening. It's going to make newspapers, it's going to make the media, except the fake news aren't going to like it too much. Because the reality is his spirit is being poured out on all flesh in the last days. I will guarantee you, I'm closer today than I was yesterday to his return. So more of his spirit is being poured upon us. It's time we rise up. Oh, smell the food downstairs. It's time we rise up and let our indifferences go.
Now, I'm not talking falsities. If you try to explain to me things that are contrary to the Bible that are true in the Word, then I'm going to look at you and say, I absolutely disagree with that theology. I disagree with your interpretation of the Word. Some of those are that, and people aren't going to like this, but my Bible says, and I stand on my Bible, that marriage is between man and woman. That's what my Bible says. And I stand on that. Now, I love the people. I love the people. I just hate the sin. But my Bible's clear. And in this country, I have to be careful now as an ordained reverend minister of the gospel. I have to be careful how I say it. But you know what? I stand on the Word of God. And if this Word puts me in Bible, then I have a captive audience. It's amazing. If it puts me in prison, then I have a captive audience. No one can leave. I can keep preaching. And if I live in a country that this Word puts me in jail, then I'm going to jail. And I'm going to be a Paul. And watch them come to Jesus and celebrate the joy. This is the Word. We have to stay focused on it. And the people that are confused with the understanding of marriage or confused with the understanding of their identity, I want to tell them really clear that this never makes a mistake. It's always true. I love you, but I'm praying for the breakthrough of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Okay. So, I set him before me. The revivalist, have you heard of Duncan Campbell? He had a great revival in the 50s on Hebrides Island, and amazing revival in the 50s. But I love this statement. One of the things that he said was the greatest thing of the revival was an awareness of God filled the atmosphere in the region. An awareness of his presence, an awareness of God filled the atmosphere, which created an environment in which repentance, conversion, prayer, and worship naturally became the chief objectives. This is what I want to encourage us. How do we fill the atmosphere with his presence? How do we bring our own lives into revival and bring revival into our culture? How do we do it? Be filled with the atmosphere of his presence. Because when we have that atmosphere of his presence in us, we become revivalists. It's that simple. It's that easy. But yet so many times we struggle. We come to church depressed. Then come depressed, but come to be liberated. Because if you come depressed, the goal of uniting together is to be precious oil flowing down the beard like Aaron. A precious oil being broken upon our heads, flowing down our bodies in his presence and his glory. Come with the purpose and the destiny to be revived in him in our life. Because if we don't, we bring this dark cloud. People say,
Brent, you ignored me on Sunday.
I'm sorry, I missed you. But then there's some times where you can do you know anybody where this dark cloud just emanates from them? Now, when we're family, we go give them a hug and say, we're here to support you. But when that dark cloud becomes a lifestyle, the only way you want to hang and connect is if you carry a dark cloud as well. And the dark clouds come together in the thunders of darkness. In our conversations become so negative. Let's not be clouds of darkness. Let's be clouds of his presence. Let's be clouds of his light. Let's have a clear understanding that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he is always with us, that everything he has promised in this word, he wants to reveal it as truth in our lives. Everything.
When we increase our awareness of God's presence, the commands that God gives us becomes more doable. When we increase that awareness of his presence, the things he has commanded us to do, it gets done. We can do it. We can do it. Because we can do all things through him. We can do all things through him.
You mean I can pull my lifestyle out of depression back into joy?
Absolutely, that's your destiny.
You mean I can look past someone shaking up here even though I don't shake?
Absolutely. Don't get focused on what someone else is doing. Just get focused on what you're doing. It's between you and God, not you and everybody else. And then when we come together, you can get over the fact that the preacher has long hair. One of my most saddest days was this week. And my son's hair all disappeared.
It wasn't a sad day. I celebrated it because it's a hassle. It's a lot of work, I'll be honest with you. I'm that close to shaving it all off. Some people are like, yeah, go for it. Others are like, no.
I mean, if I showed up to the conferences I'm already booked at with incredibly short hair, they'd say, who are you? Oh, I have a seat for you over here. Oh, actually, I'm sort of speaking. Thank you. But your hairstyle would be much easier to look after. It is, it's just easier. I had the number 8 buzzer. My wife is the most amazing hairdresser. She's never taken it, but schooling, number 8, for what, 20 years of ministry, it was all short. So nice, could wear my motorcycle helmet, didn't have to put my hair in a bun. Actually, I don't, I put it in a ponytail, just because the knots get so radical. When we increase our presence, awareness of God's presence, when we increase our awareness of God's presence, the commands that God gives us happen. It's the answer. We have to have time of sorrow. We lose loved ones through death, illnesses, sickness. Absolutely, you have to sorrow. Don't get me wrong. We have to sorrow. But I'd rather sorrow out of the deep heart attitude of victory than sorrow out of an attitude of defeat. I'd rather every expression of who I am comes out of a deep heart attitude of identity through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, of victory than defeat. Because whenever I look into the tough times of our lives, when I see it through the eyes of victory, those tough times have a purpose to be changed to light for the power of God's testimony in our lives. Let's all stand. Be strong and courageous. That's what we're called for. Be strong and courageous. Courageous in him, his presence, his word, and the understanding and knowing that his truth sets us free. Be strong and courageous, for God has given us every solution to every problem that ever comes in our life. And he has never left us and will never forsake us. Many have left him and forsaken him, but he has never left or forsaken anyone in us, through Jesus Christ in us, is what I was trying to say. And so I ask, Father God, today, I just want to focus on his presence. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. His word gives us strength. His word brings us joy. As Psalm says, he sits on his throne and laughs at the devil. He you know what? I laugh at your attempts, devil. Before I used to get depressed.
He's always after me. It's depressing me. The devil's always attacking me. Why am I so attacked? And people would say, because you have such future. I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand. I can't get to my future because I'm living in the depression of the attacks.
What I'm actually saying is, I left Jesus somewhere behind. And I succumbed to the temptation. And because I'm depressed because of the attacks, I have empowered the attacks to depress me more. So I refuse that in Jesus' name, as I did years ago. And I laugh at you, devil. People are like, oh, watch out, Brent. Watch out for what? My eyes are focused on God. I'm watching for him. My eyes are focused on him, not on the things of this world. They're focused on him.
Don't laugh at that powerful devil.
That's a bad theology. Father, my joy is in you, Jesus. My hope is in you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, with the glory of God surrounding us. And I ask, Father, that every one of us in this place, everyone watching on TV or the internet, I pray, Lord God, that right now they'll just stop their cars or sit back in their computer chair, wherever they are right now, and just put their hands out and say, Holy Spirit, invade me. I no longer want to succumb to the attacks of the enemy because I have a life called victory and his name is Jesus Christ. I see all these V's like Superman on chests right now. I should rip off my shirt. It's a big V on my chest. That'd be a bad image right now. Let's have the understanding that we have the victory. That through Jesus Christ, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to make the biggest decision of your life. It's more important than who you're going to marry, what school you're going to go to, what car you're going to buy. Those are all decisions, but the biggest decision you could ever make in your life is salvation through Jesus Christ. I remember the day clearly. I want to tell you what. The best decision of my life. I want to give you opportunity. Just bow your heads right now and close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus. Or maybe you have years ago, but you haven't been living that lifestyle. But you know what you're hearing is the Word of God. And you want to be set free today. If that's you, just quickly put your hands up right now. Just put a hand up right now. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I just want to give you opportunity. Today's the day. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Another hand. Anybody else? Today's the day that I say, you know what? God, I want you, Jesus Christ, in my life. I want to be invaded by your presence again. Maybe you've never, and this is the first time, I want to pray a prayer together because Romans is clear. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I love to pray a prayer and I want us all to pray together. We all pray together out loud. It's just simple prayer. We call it a prayer of salvation, but it's really a prayer of confessing with our mouth that we believe Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. So let's all pray together out loud. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and rising again to set me free from my sins. I ask you into my life today. Come and fill my life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me salvation today and writing my name in the book of life. In In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for the people that prayed that today. Whether it's first-time salvation or it's re-giving their life back, committing back, I thank you. Bless them. I ask if you prayed that prayer today and you were one that put your hand up or knew your hand needed to come up and talk with us afterwards. We would love to talk with you and encourage you and ask your needs and just pray with you, because we just want to say welcome to the family and welcome home. This is home. And if any of you ever want to be baptized, I will fill that tank with water and jump in there with you. Just come and talk to us, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and in it we rejoice and be glad in him. I thank you, Father, for this day. I just feel an ushering of his presence. Let's just get hungry. I know we're hungry and we're going to eat great downstairs, but this is about spiritual hunger. Maybe you've been feeling a little dry in your life. Maybe you've been feeling a little depressed. Maybe you've been feeling like God's not there like he used to be in your life. I just want to let you know God's still there. You're just not. People say, well, I feel like God's left me. I guarantee you he's never left you or forsaken you. But I know a lot of people that have stepped away from him. Maybe you just need that extra, I want to say energy drink of the Spirit. Well, you know, we go buy them in the stores. Well, this one you don't have to buy. It's already been paid for. Jesus paid the price. It's the Holy Spirit and his presence in us. And every day I wake up, I say, fill me more. Lléname más, Señor. Más y más y más. Fill me more, Holy Spirit. I never want to be a half-filled cup, and I never want to be a full cup. I want to be a cup that's overflowing, beyond full. Fill us. If that's you, just hold your hands out or close your eyes and just say, fill me more, Holy Spirit. Say, I'm hungry for your presence, God. I hunger for more. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning. Thank you, Father, where your word has said, where two or more gathered in your name, you are there. Well, we're here, Father, and you're here with us, and we thank you. And Father, we pray a blessing upon the meal that we just ate spiritually, but Father, the meal that we're about to eat physically for our bodies. We pray blessing upon the hands that have prepared it. People that have brought food, we thank you and bless them abundantly, Lord. But we know, Father, we know, Lord God, that you have called us as family. And so we don't want to just be a church. We want to be a community. We don't want to just be a religion. We want to be passionate for your word and your truth. We don't want to follow our own man's rules and regulations. We want to follow the rules and laws of your word. And I thank you, Father, that you aren't dead 400 years after the death of Christ, that you are alive, and that your word is alive, and that the revelation of your word opens up in our hearts and our minds to change us to be what you've called us to be. I thank you that we are in revival. I thank you that we are alive in you. I thank you for the favor and blessings that you bestow upon us. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen, amen.